Believing in God's love for you is the key to understanding the God prescription for health. Today on Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Avery Jackson reveal the answer to living in total peace, spirit, soul, and body.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We want to welcome you today. We've got another special surprise for you today. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We are so grateful to you. Your word is so wonderful. And these 2 weeks with Dr. Jackson have just been absolutely superb. We thank you for it. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for every word that's said and every deed that's been accomplished. And we ascribe it all to the wonderful name of Jesus. And in that name we pray, amen. Glory to God. Now, not only is Dr. Jackson here, but we are welcoming back to this studio again today, Dr. Caroline Leaf. Oh, girl, it is so good. You know, hey, where you been, kid?
We just got back from Australia. We literally got off the plane a few hours ago. So we've been in Australia teaching them down under how to renew their mind.
And Dr. Jackson, he's still here.
Hey.
My, this has been a wonderful, wonderful 2 weeks. Praise God. It's let's go to our golden text for this time in this study that we've been in. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace, the God of peace, He's not the God of strife. He's the God of peace. He's not the God of sickness and disease. He's the God of peace. Sick people are not at peace. That's what dis-ease is about. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. But now for him to do it, you have to follow what he says. And if you go back, that's what this whole little book of 1 Thessalonians is about, is peace and what it takes to be in peace. Mm-hmm. And to live in peace. And he deals with grief and the deadly things. He came right out of that fourth chapter dealing with grieve not. Well, this says sorrow not, but it's the same Greek word for grief. Grieve not. We're not a people that don't have hope. And then over in 1 Corinthians 15, he talked about we have victory over death. Glory to God. And he says, grave, where is your sting? Yeah. I like what Keith Moore says. He says, I don't feel you.
That's good.
That really blessed me. He said, I don't feel you. Amen. So, Caroline, what we've been doing all last week in this, I was directed of the Lord to major in reverse and major in the body and its effect on the mind, the will, and the emotions, which very seriously affect the spirit of anybody. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've been doing. And it has been
amazing.
I mean, it's been like going to a ball game. I mean, it's just so exciting. And we've just shouted and carried on something
fantastic.
Wonderful in here. So, Dr. Jackson, I'm thinking about the book of Philippians. 19 times the apostle used the word joy in one form or another. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, rejoice. And never mentioned being worried about anything. And so, particularly with the two of you here, I'm going to do my best to just back out of this thing. I want to hear from the two of you and what you're both doing and this massive research thing that I'm just speechless over this. And I really, not speechless, that stuff was a lie. But I'm rejoicing over it because of what the two of you and a number of others like you are doing to help the body of Christ and help humanity and get this thing all ironed out and straightened out so we can live to be 120 years old.
Exactly.
So.
Can I brag on you for a second?
Oh, okay. I mean, I'll brag on you.
Okay. So Caroline is just amazing. So she is like my hero, okay? And especially in the area of mind, because there's so much that in other areas of medicine, in the biomedical model, we don't really talk about. And so we have patients come into the office who have mind issues that might manifest as a physical issue, and then we treat the physical sometimes, and the mind is still out there, and there's no treatment of root cause. And so we see that even in physician burnout. Now, physicians are being affected as well as the patients. And so she's done a lot in that area, so really excited for her to share that. It's just amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, Avery's amazing, too. And we've been working together for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And Avery's on my advisory board, and I've watched him do surgery. And our objective, there's about 10 of us in our group of professionals that are neurosurgeons and neurologists and neuroscientists. And God just brought them all. They all approached me at different times, and we set up this organization. It's a very open-ended organization, and our objective is to show how when you renew the mind, you're going to change the body. When you bring all thoughts into captivity as a lifestyle, it's going to impact the body. So if you don't renew the mind and you don't bring thoughts into captivity, you change the energy in the brain, the electrical flow, you increase the potential for tumor formation, for damage inside the body. And we don't want people to go into guilt, shame, and condemnation, because we want to help people to embrace the challenges of life. That's the whole thing is life is tough. The biggest thing that we know life is tough. What we want to try and teach people is that mind management, renewing of the mind, bringing all thoughts into captivity, this is something that's vital to do. So the research study that you've been helping, you contributed to, and I'm so grateful for that. Avery's on the advisory board of that. We're already now into the fourth week of the trial, and already what we're starting to see, Avery, we're starting to get results back already. We're starting to see that when you renew your mind in a deliberate and intentional way, when you bring your thoughts into captivity on a continual basis, and neuroscience shows us we can do that every 10 seconds. So we're in the techniques, we're training people to live this lifestyle of being in constant communication with the Spirit of God, this constant renewal. When you do that, you change how the brain waves move through your brain. You change how they move through your body. You change the blood chemistry. You change, you even create, you activate a gamma wave, which is the highest type of, it's the newest form of brain activity that we understand. And it basically eats up things like amyloid beta plaque. It can fight tumors. It can do the most amazing things throughout the entire body. When you deliberately renew your mind, you bring down what we call beta activity in the brain. There's two types of beta activity. Right now, we're all in beta activity. We're in good beta activity. But there's a bad version that we go into when we're in chronic stress. And when your brain is constantly bombarded by chronic stress, and that's this type of wave pattern, it sets your body up to break down. Your body is not designed for the incorrect beta, the incorrect gamma. Right. It's designed to be, so when you speak to God, when you pray, when you renew your mind constantly, when you lead a life of prayerfulness, which is bringing every thought into captivity, every thought, we think 30,000 thoughts a day. So when you bring, that's an average, so it could be anything up to 180,000. If you bring in every single one of those into captivity, it means that you have to talk to the Holy Spirit every 10 seconds, which means six times a minute, which means you have to live a life of prayerfulness. And the research is showing that when you get that kind of mindset, you then activate all this correct wave, the correct beta, the correct gamma, the correct alpha, all these fancy, the correct quantum energy, which then affects blood physiology. It drops our cortisol levels to the correct levels. It changes even things like our homocysteine levels, which are very important for brain and heart health. So we're already seeing after 4 weeks all these changes in these subjects on a brain level, in a blood level. So when you bring, all I'm trying to show people, all that Avery and I are doing this together, you know, as part of the team, what we're trying to show people is that when you listen to what the precepts say, when you follow the wisdom of spiritual, of what we're supposed to do, when we renew our minds, you will get a positive impact in your body. You'll also learn to be. You'll also learn to recognize that, like David cried and expressed his emotions, you'll learn to process your emotions like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is also what we're teaching people, is that when Jesus didn't suppress it with a drug, the pain of what was coming up, Jesus faced the stuff in the garden, and then it was on the cross, and then he rose again. So we're trying to teach people as well that part of a directed, mind-renewed, bringing every thought into captivity lifestyle, dealing with those PTSDs, the traumas, the anxiety, those big words, trauma, anxiety, depression, bipolar depression, all those big umbrella terms are significant of something that there's a cause behind it. They're not an illness. There's not something missing in your brain. Right. You've gone through life, and if you don't process, it's a wound. And if you just put a plaster on, like just throw a scripture at it without really dealing with the stuff, that's not, it's going to fester and your body will be damaged. But if you get in the garden and you cry through, like Jesus went through the agony, took the sins on, we get that demonstration in the Garden of Gethsemane. Face the issue, deal with the issue. There's a time frame involved. It's not instant quick fix mentality. Yes, spiritually we know we get forgiveness immediately, but there's a physical component to work through. There's the activity of working through, why do I feel this way? What is this emotional warning signal? Why am I anxious? What is the cause? What was the trauma? How do I forgive? And you're not trying to get rid of that trauma. You're not trying to get rid of what you've done. You're redesigning it. That's what you're doing on the cross. You're not trying to eliminate the trauma. You're not trying to suppress the trauma because it's part of your character. You've gone through that. What we need to do is forgive and reconceptualize. So we know what they did. Like Jesus knew what had happened. He forgave when he was on the cross. He said, forgive. So he didn't forget. It was redesigned. So when we forgive ourselves and others for the traumas that we've gone through, we aren't suppressing, we are reconceptualizing and redesigning, and those become like beautiful bits of gold inside a piece of broken pottery. So if a piece of pottery breaks and you fix it with gold, which is called the Kintsugi principle, you don't throw the pottery away because that pottery is beautiful. You rebuild it with, and the gold is all the sufferings of life that have shaped you. So you're embracing the pain to go through the pain to move forward, but it's part of what's happened to you. So now your trial becomes your testimony. And that's what we're teaching people to do. And what the research shows is if you go through something, if you've been abused as a child, or you've had terrible parenting, or you've been raped, or you've been bullied, or you've been in war, or you've just life day to day. I mean, the chronicity of stress that people experience with the busyness of life. If you try and just hide that underneath a medication or suppress it with a medication or push it down and pretend it doesn't exist, you will break your body down. You will put yourself into high levels of beta, which will cause damage to your body. You know, so what we're trying to do is show people this link between let's embrace, let's find the cause, let's go through the process, let's reconceptualize, let's rebuild. Paul said, once I was like that, now I am like this. That's part of a reconceptualized mindset. And that brings health back into the brain. Yeah. And that requires a constant life of prayerfulness.
And if I can make a comment, so from the brain surgery side of things, what Caroline said about the beta waves and amyloid, so we have different types of stroke. You know, there's a bland stroke because you're not getting blood to the brain. We talked about blood flow, and then you can have dysfunction in the brain. Well, likewise, you can have a hemorrhagic stroke, which is bleeding in the brain. Well, amyloid angiopathy, or these proteins, these amyloid proteins deposit in the blood vessels, kind of like cholesterol and other plaques deposit in blood vessels, and lead to hemorrhages in the brain, especially in the older population. And we really don't have, or didn't have, a really great answer for that. So in neurosurgery, we understood amyloid angiopathy. It was a diagnosis, and we understood the hemorrhage, but not the source. And so in talking about these beta waves and theta waves, so when you have an EEG monitor hooked up to your brain, your cells have, electricity. And so you can measure the different waves that go through the brain, and whether it's beta or theta or delta. And it kind of brings me back to when people are sleeping, even though their waves change when they're sleeping, their brain's still processing. Exactly. So like you said, so if you think, okay, my answer is to just pull the shades down, make it really dark and just go to sleep, and then everything will be okay when I wake up. it's not going to be, because your brain is still processing, and if you've not dealt with it, it's still going to be a problem.
That's the thing, and talking, that's such a relevant point, because when you're sleeping, you get a wave called delta, and there's a certain frequency where you get a peak, and at that frequency, you get a protein being released called telomerase, which then influences telomeres. Now, in simple language, your DNA's your chromosome on your DNA's got chromosomes, and then the chromosomes wear socks, literally. They have these little telomeres are little shoelace. You know, on a shoelace, you've got the little plastic ending. Those, if those wear off, it's very difficult to weave the shoelace through. So telomeres serve a purpose of protecting the ends of chromosomes. And when our cells replicate, which they do, you replicate 810 million, I think it is, per second, for every 10 seconds. Mm. These little things, these little socks, these little plastics on the end of the shoelace, the telomeres, they shorten, and if you don't think correctly, your mind's not renewed correctly, they don't replicate themselves properly. So they get shorter and shorter and more frayed, and that increases aging. And it leads to that, and from young, I mean, this happens right from young. You can be aging from young. And the telomerase or the telomeres rejuvenate and rebuild in sleep at a certain wave frequency when you're in the deepest part of sleep in four cycles during the night. So if you go to sleep with a bunch of unrenewed stuff or undealt with stuff that you've suppressed, that you pretended because you kept yourself busy all day and you've drugged yourself so much that you can't even think anymore and disconnected the spirit, your spiritual nature is 99% of who you are. Your body and brain are just 1%. Mm-hmm. So that spiritual nature is 24/7 connected to the Spirit of God, but we control how tuned in we are to God. So if we're going to go to bed totally disorganized, chaotic mindsets, we are going to affect the telomeres, which will then affect the blood chemistry, which will then affect, and it's just this boomerang effect. And you wake up the next morning, you're exhausted because you haven't slept properly. And then that cumulatively over time starts messing with how we function as humans. Mm-hmm. Then you're blaming the devil. Meanwhile, we've got to get ourselves organized. We've got to do what the Bible says, bring every thought into captivity. And that is something I don't believe the church is focused on. And so we have a mental health crisis. They don't. So we have a mental health crisis. Meanwhile, it's not a mental health crisis. It's a mind renewal crisis. So if we bring our minds back into management again, which is the work that Avery and I are trying to do with, we now train physicians. I don't know if you mentioned that we work together on restarting a whole training thing to train physicians. And even anyone in the medical mental health field, in understanding mental health and understanding renewing the mind and how to look after themselves. One doctor a day is dying from suicide because of burnout in this country. Mm, medical students are just dropping dead from pressure. People are dying 15 to 25 years younger from the mismanagement of mind. And for 50 years, we've had a model of care that has become a standard of care that is, oh, you feel bad, you feel sad, you feel unhappy. Oh, wow, let's just label you and let's just drug you. Then that disconnects that 99% spiritual part, doesn't allow you to sleep properly, you don't process your stuff, takes you out of the garden, ignores the spiritual nature, and treats you just like a biological robot, which you aren't. You can't fix the blood levels, all the tumors, or anything unless you get your mind right.
Yeah, we talked about a couple of things in there. So she mentioned the telomeres. We talked about on the other side of the coin. So you've got that you are a spirit being, you have a mind, will, and emotion, and you live in the physical body. So on the physical body side is that exercise actually can produce a protein that will actually arrest that process and decrease the telomeres being shortened. So that's one piece that's fascinating. And then the other piece is regarding the sleep and being on purpose with your thoughts is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And so we have something through it's an ECHO, Project ECHO, Extension for Community Health Outcomes. And we're reaching physicians and clinicians, going to be reaching them from around the world and really team up on this issue because physicians, and I'm not, as a physician, as a board-certified neurosurgeon, I'm not knocking physicians, but it's just that our model of training is, it's a biomedical model, and it just focuses on the one-third, or the smallest part, of who we are. Of who we are, and the other two areas in mind, will and emotion, and the spirit aren't being addressed.
And they've actually been written off. So what the current model says is that all that counts is the physical that we can see. And this physical is producing mind as an artifact or a mistake. And we have no free will, an illusion, or it's an illusion. So the whole spiritual nature of mankind is being ignored and pushed aside. So what we're trying to do with our work, and research is to show that if you don't address the 99%, you know, it works through the 1%. That has to be sorted out. That has to be fixed. So the research we're doing is showing that when we don't renew the mind, this is the impact that we will have, right down to all these fancy things, telomeres and blood levels and all these fancy things that we know biologically are the case. But it's such a complex integration. And what we're seeing, for example, like people, you can have certain technology that can, you know, shoot gamma rays at your brain and kill some amyloid beta and reduce it by 50%. But where's the sustainability? Right. What you have to do is lifestyle changes. And that's what we are not seeing in the church. 4% of the church talk about mental health. And of the 4% that do, they talk about it, oh, if you're feeling depressed, go see your doctor. That's passing the buck. The church is where we are supposed to be addressing mental health. And that's also what we're trying to work on.
Listen to how God dealt with this. Because there's two key factors. On one side, the key factor is fear. All worry, anxiety, that whole thing is fear-based. Exactly. All of it is fear-based.
Exactly.
On the other hand is the love of God. So, he just simply says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or brought to maturity, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love.
So you see, we're supposed
to be... It's not in there.
Exactly. We're supposed to be in love. And that's why the bringing all thoughts into captivity is so significant for that scripture, because we as body of Christ, Christians, spiritual people, we talk about, oh, bring all thoughts into captivity. I've yet to meet one person who every 10 seconds is talking to God. And brain science shows us that every 10 seconds we're supposed to talk to God. Now, you can just time it. I've done this exercise. I did it in the church with a whole bunch of people, thousands in front of thousands. I took two people and I said, okay, I'm going to press the timer. Every 10 seconds, turn to God and talk to God. And you, that person was in a continual conversation, and that's the point.
Yeah, it's
so we're supposed
it's
to be in love. We're supposed to be stepping into wisdom. And there's scientists that have shown us, mathematicians and quantum physicists that show us that not only are we at our most foundational level, you know, you see the physical, but at our most foundational level, we're made of waves of love. Literally, that's what the scientists say.
Praise God.
And we're immersed in love. So we're standing in him, we live, move, and have our being. So all around us are gravitational fields made of love.
So all of the development then has been in other things.
Yes.
But he says there's no fear in love. He that fears is not made perfect in love, because perfect love casteth out fear. He that fears has not been perfecting love. Mm-hmm. It is that simple.
It's that simple.
And when you're going to talk to God every 10 seconds, you need to be talking about love.
Exactly.
You need to be talking to love, about love, for love. What can I do for you, my love?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Jesus modeled that in the garden. He went through the issue. That's part of love. It's accessing, I'm in this situation. So it's not denying. If you're in that trauma, if you're in that situation with your kids, if you're in that crazy boss situation or whatever it may be, it's not pretend it doesn't exist. It is, God, what do I do about this?
Yeah, right.
How do I put on that armor?
Caroline, I've learned this.
In the mind of Christ.
Gloria and I have developed this over the years.
You have.
We tell one another that we love one another all the time. And we end that way at night, and we begin that way in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Dr. Jackson last week, I really don't know when I developed this, but I started, when I go to sleep at night, the very last thing I pray is, Father, I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. Mm-hmm. I love my neighbor as myself, and I love the brethren, even as you love the brethren. I go to sleep with
that's
that.
So good.
On my heart and on my mind.
Mm-hmm. So your telomeres are growing.
They're growing, yeah.
Yeah.
Got your little adult.
Gold telomere. And we're out of time. Oh. Help us, Jeremy.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Now, today's broadcast had a lot of information on the latest research about the spirit-mind-body connection. And when we believe that God loves us and you believe how much He loves you, then you start to live in the peace of God. And that peace covers our entire being and touches every part of our lives. And I encourage you right now to go back and watch these broadcasts again and again and again. I promise you there was something you missed that you need to hear. If you want to watch these broadcasts again, you can go to kcm.org or you can view them for free at KCM's Roku channel. Now, today is offering day on this broadcast, and I want to read to you from the book of Galatians chapter 6. Again, from verse 6, it says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Partners, I want to say thank you. On behalf of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, my grandparents, on behalf of the staff of this ministry and the staff in the offices all over the world, we want to say thank you for doing your part, playing your part, for being obedient to the leading of the Spirit of God when it comes to partnering with this ministry. Because when you partner in faith, you sow financially into it, then you become part of getting the gospel to people all over the world. And there are so many arms of outreach that are coming out of this place day in and day out. And partnership is what makes all that possible. And when you are faithful to sow, God is faithful to bring harvest into your life. If you're not yet a partner with this ministry, we encourage you, go before the Lord. Find out if you've got a part to play in this. If you've heard a word that has changed your life, then respond to it in faith today. And when you sow a seed, you are ensuring that that same word that affected you affects people like you all over the world. Father, we receive the giving of the people today. We call them blessed and increased and multiplied in Jesus' name. And may everything you set your hand to do in God prosper. Amen. Amen. Now listen, before we go, I want to remind you that next week, my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, and my dad, Pastor George Pearson's, return to the broadcast for more teaching on how to increase God's way. And I invite you to join them as they study what the Word says about how to handle wealth. You don't want to miss this. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you again next week. Until then, remember this: God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.